Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, welcome back to part two. We're still here with the lovely Olivia Cook. Are you excited for things to open back up, or do you quite like this time, like a lot of people do, where we're not kind of having to socialise and like that a lot?
When everything opens back up, I'm going to say yes to the opening of an envelope. I cannot wait to just be around people and just like be able to sniff and kiss and just consensually. But just be in, just feel their sweat and just, oh, I miss it so much.
That sounds
much.
Like a sex party. I don't know if you're, that's what you're...
Look, it's been a long time on my own, Francis.
But I know what you mean. Like, there's something really cool about just going out there and just being able to kiss and just, like, have that sort of freeness and funness. It always turns, like, a bit sort of bad in the end, but the initial part of, like, being free... I don't know where I'm going with this. Hang on,
it always turns really bad in the end. What do you mean?
With both, like, Francis and I have just shut up and let you just dig yourself a massive hole.
Oh my god!
Sounds like you got something more to share there.
No, but you know what I mean. Like the beginning. Okay, what I'm trying to say is when you're single, right, and you're out there, it's epic, it's amazing. You're kissing and you're having fun. But being single always leads to this kind of same sort of place where you sort of, you know, you go out too much. You
start trying to meet new people.
No, but you know what I mean. But actually, there's an amazing
going on dates.
No, but there's an amazing balance about being in like a healthy relationship, but also having the freeness of going out and not kissing, obviously, but going out and having fun. Don't know where I'm going with this, but you know what I mean. Are you the type of person, so do you love, so this is an odd, weird question, but I hope you understand, do you love people and like love that kind of connection?
Yeah, I feel like the best part of my job is the gossiping and the storytelling time between the takes, because when you're doing your acting and you're on camera, sometimes it's a bit boring, it's a bit divisive, and you know, you're just pushing the storyline along by being like, I don't know, like, where's Jamie? And then that's the scene. But in the in-between bit of being like, oh, do you have a set crush on anyone? Okay, let's try and see if there's any, like, romances going down. Or let's, like...
Oh, my God.
Or, like, did you hear what the first AD did last week? Like, that sort of, like, God, I love that bonding and that storytelling.
Is it naughty on set? Does it get quite naughty sometimes? I'm sure everyone just hooks up with everyone in terms of, you know...
Jamie... Sorry, it's not made in Chelsea.
Yeah. Sorry, Liv, tell me again. Does everyone hook up with
it? Is it like a sex party near a drain?
I mean, it's just human nature, isn't it? Sometimes you're away from home for like 5 months and you're all in one hotel together and you're all going out, and relationships, being friendships or otherwise, are just accelerated because you're spending from 6 a.m. till 7 p.m. at night with each other every single day.
Yeah.
Suppose so, it goes both ways though. Sometimes you must hate some of the people. Yeah.
Who do you end up hating?
It's only been a couple, not God, hating, but just it. Severely.
You got to name names.
Like, no, you don't.
No,
name
I
names.
Can't.
Don't name names. Don't. Name
can't.
Names.
I'll tell you after if we ever meet in person.
I can't wait. Also, we gotta also acknowledge, right? I'm just gonna get it up. The amount of work that you've done, Because I feel like we generally just chatted, but, you know, we've got you on. So we just, you know, you have done, I mean, if we go through it, Ruby Skin, The Quiet Ones, The Signal, Ouija, Me and Earl and The Dying Girl, The Limehouse, Katie Says Goodbye, Thoroughbreds, Ready Player One, Follow the Roses, Life Itself, Sound of Metal, Pixie, Little Fish, Naked Singularity. I mean, that literally, and that's not even television. I mean, you've done so much stuff. It's like insane. A lot of it's horror. I mean, a lot of horror. I've never seen, I was Googling earlier. I've never watched The Quiet Ones. That's what I'm going to watch tonight. I can't wait.
Really? Okay. Interesting. No, it's
one of your early ones. Seagull. Seagull.
Oh, I was 18 and I remember crying on camera, like, because it was my first film, and being like, I think I'm going to be nominated. I was like, I'm amazing. It's a horror film, but it was fun because Jared Harris, who's in, you know, loads of great stuff, most recently Chernobyl. He is so fun and he's amazing in it. But yeah, I was 18 and mad. You know,
it's so funny. I exactly the same thing. It's not similar. I didn't think I was going to be nominated, but the same thing. I did stand up. Francis was doing loads of stand up, and I was like, well, I should probably try some stand up. So I went and did a gig doing stand up comedy, and the whole audience knew, and I've said this again before on the podcast, the whole audience knew that it was my first time, and I absolutely smashed it. And I came up going, this is fucking easy. this is, you know, and I went, you know, in life that people say there is something, you'll find the thing you're meant to do. I was like, I found it. This is what I meant. I can do this. My second gig, it was like, honestly, it's like walking into a paintball field with no gun.
Wait.
Like, it was the worst.
The joke that
lost the room. What was it?
There were a couple of jokes that lost the room. Because my first one, I just told stories, right, about like what happened to me. And I think that was why it was easy, because I can tell funny stories, right? The second one, I thought I was a comedian. So I walked on stage and, like, being white, privileged and posh, I sort of said, oh, so I just got in the taxi to come over here. And the taxi driver said to me, oh, go on, lad, go on, tell us a joke. And I went, and he spoke like that because he's working class. And everyone went, huh? And from that moment on, I was like, I've fucked it.
That was your first joke?
That was my first joke.
Amazing.
And then my
second joke. It's not even a joke.
And then I made another joke about someone trying to share something with me on the tube, and I went, oh, and it's because the joke was about, like, him having AIDS. Don't make a joke about AIDS. Like, it was awful. And I was getting closer towards the joke, and I was like, I'm fucking bombing on here. And I knew, suddenly I had a realization that I was about to make a joke about AIDS, and it's my second gig ever. And I went, oh my God. So I hushed over, I went, AIDS. No one would really hear it. The whole thing was miserable.
Was that it? Twice and done?
No, then I did it another time and that was okay. You know, listen, it's an experience, but the point is like what you did is that you... I'm going to be nominated. you get that sort of...
Oh my God, that confidence, beginner's luck. Completely. Also, I love that you're like, I think I found it. Comedy, famously, very easy.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
This is what
I might write a joke about AIDS.
This is what I was meant to do. But I suppose, but you know, if you live, you know, the one that a lot of people know you really for is Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. And that one, like, loads of different awards and things like that. And you actually shaved your head in it, which is, you know, which is pretty, pretty intense, right? Because I think, especially, you know, for men as well, but more for women, I think, you know, hair is sort of a big thing of identity, right? Was that a hard process to do? And also, you're dying. I mean, that's quite hard for a lot.
Yeah. That was one of the best. I was 20, and that was, I felt that Alfonso, the director, that was the first time someone had trusted me with, like, proper acting. And when I found out that they were going to put a bald cap on me, because the TV show that I was on already said absolutely not to shaving my head, and it was gonna take 4 hours every single morning to put the bald cap on me, and I was like, absolutely not, I'll just shave it. I'm like, I'm not getting up. I'm so not getting up 4 hours before. Yeah, I'm not.
You made the decision because you didn't want to get up early. That fucking shave it.
Shave it.
Also, sitting in a chair for 4 hours, having people like pull at your hair and stuff, that would be horrible.
I hate it. I hate being, because it's first thing in the morning and you're being mauled. I've got really thick hair. And so they tried the bald cap. They did a test. So you had to like sort of plait it all together and make it stick really hard to my head. They put the bald cap on and put makeup on it, and I looked like an alien. I looked like my head was the shape of an onion. It looked
like
horrendous.
The cone heads. Have you seen
like
that?
The cone heads.
So wait, exactly. so you thought you'd shave it because it would look better?
It would look better, and also I wouldn't have to get up as early in the morning.
That's rock star of you. That's very cool. I think that's very, very cool. I think that's a wicked thing to do. Also more authentic, right?
I was also very purist as well. I was 20, and I was just like, no, it'd be good, you know, to have this experience and to really, really feel what she's going through.
Have I ordered my elderflower cupcake as well? Like, it's just, oh my God, so hippie. Like, it's so free.
But it is mad because you don't know what shape it's going to be under there, having not seen your bald head. Mine was the roundest head I've ever seen. I was just couldn't get over.
Well, I guess they had to put all the hair somewhere, right?
That's true, isn't it? Yeah.
Because it's a great movie, and also it's the great thing about that movie is that it's one that if what should I watch tonight? A lot of people always say, this is the one you need to watch.
Really?
Do you not see? I get that a lot of the time. I put out, through the last lockdown, I would put out on Twitter a lot of the time, give me some movie suggestions? And that one is always one that comes through. Honestly, I swear, which is obviously a, great thing. But was there a point in that where you went, I'm going to be nominated?
Because I shaved my head.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. Natalie Portman, V for Vendetta. It wasn't so much that. I thought the movie would get nominated because we went to Sundance and we got all these awards, like massive standing ovation, people crying their eyes out. And then it got put out on the same day as Jurassic World got released as well. So we were just like, fucking no chance.
Is that what happens? Is that a real issue? If your movie's put out at the same time as like a big sci-fi thing, or not sci-fi, but CGI movie like that, big budget, are you screwed?
You're not going to get a look in, really.
Really?
And then they backed another movie instead of ours, and so we just kind of got lost, which was unfortunate. But I think people have come round and seen it since, which is good.
Hang on, I need to work this out. So it's with movies. Am I stupid saying this? With movie, it's a lot of timing and luck whether it gets noticed, even if it's an incredible movie.
And money to publicise it, which they didn't put any into publicising our film and putting posters up and putting adverts on the TV and to do like a real burst of publicising. They put it into a couple of other films instead, and they were the ones that got nominated because it had been just such a not that I'm so bitter.
I'm so excited I'm about to say this. So not to shit on the Academy.
But to shit on the Academy.
Yeah. Sorry to the Academy. But are you saying, so some of the best movies don't get nominated, but it comes down to a lot of the time down to
some
money?
Some of them don't even get made.
What?
Are you talking about
yourself?
Some
of the best movies don't get made.
I wrote this script.
Is this a pitch? Is this why I'm on?
And no one's picked it up yet.
We've got this movie for you. We've got this movie where you spray yourself with perfume because you have syphilis.
I'll send you the side,
Olivia. Shave your head.
It's called Scent of a Woman.
Yeah, Scent of a Woman. And then at one point you have to shit on me and it doesn't get it.
There's already a film called this.
But it's down to money and things like that.
The best films that I've seen throughout the years just have never been nominated for the big awards that Hollywood dish out.
A lot of them have budget just to give to the awards givers, don't they?
Your production company or the
distributor.
They will do a campaign for you, and that costs a bunch of money to even get your name in the mix. So yeah, it's all fucking corrupt.
It's all about the
That's kind of upsetting in a sorry Academy, but that's like quite upsetting. Also,
what? Splash your trust fund on an award for yourself.
Don't have a trust fund. What would I splash it on?
Try and get a nomination.
I'm not getting a nomination.
Hey,
best art writing prize.
Yeah, invite them on holiday. You'll get a nomination.
You're going to star in it, can't wait. But okay, but so how do the smaller movies then break through? Is it just by luck? So, for example, you know, where the Wilder People are. Did you see that New Zealand movie? What was it?
Oh, Hunt for the Wilder People.
Hunt for the Wilder People. It's a great movie. Right? That sort of made it through, right? And then also something, like Parasite last year. Parasite made it through. Parasite's a good
What did
movie.
You think of Parasite?
I loved Parasite, but also Parasite got bought by, if I'm not mistaken, Parasite got bought by Amazon.
Yeah. They must have put some money behind it.
Yeah.
Because it was a very unusual ending. Then everyone was like, that's very Korean, isn't it, that ending?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Did you say that's very Korean, the ending?
Yeah, they're like, that's quite arty and Korean.
I thought it was amazing.
Liv, did you just Google that? Cool. Did they buy it? Did Amazon buy it?
Yeah, let me just check again, because I don't want to get shit. I work a lot for Amazon, so I don't want to get shit on, but I think
I order a lot from there, so they won't mind.
Yeah.
I'm a Prime member, so it's cool. I'm a
Prime member as well.
Parasite, Amazon.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This is a pretty out there question, but what is the sort of company that you most like working with? Is it kind of these new ones like the Amazons, the Netflixes, the Disney, you know, Disney, the new ones like Disney? But is it those ones, or is it the sort of, you know, the Foxes and the Universals? Or are they all just quite fun to work with?
I think I like to work with.
To work with them.
I know, it's amazing. Like, if I, you know, told myself when I was 16 that at 22 I'd be working for Warner Brothers, you know, on a Spielberg movie, that would be, you know, I wouldn't have even been able to believe it. But I think I do like to work with the independent producers and the independent financiers, and then if you can sell the film afterwards to a nice little spenny distributor. So then there's just not so many people in the pie trying to make decisions and trying to micromanage it. You can just go off and make your own thing
until you get Avengers, then you'll be like, I love working with the big guys.
Disney actually have been really great to work with, actually, and they've not put the pressure on. Yeah. They've actually just been quiet. They've been arm's length, really.
And you know what? I said less people. I think more people. I think more people, more the merrier. That's what I think. Also, you know, I want to ask you a question as well. Again, feel free to answer as much or as little as you want to, or nothing at all. There's all these stories, you know, that you hear and things like that. And Hollywood is, you know, has been in, you know, historically tricky for women in particular. Did you experience, you didn't experience anything like that, or any sort of stuff, the tricky stuff? I mumble again.
Is
that a really lame question for me to ask?
No, I mean, like,
I think it's an important one, right?
It is, yeah. It's important to have a discussion around it. And I think every woman has probably, on a lesser degree, had just, like, awkward things happen that made them feel uncomfortable. And luckily, I think that's just been my extent. The extent of it for me. There was a director that I worked with that said, oh, you're quite scary. And I don't think I'm scary. I just was like, when he did something that wasn't on, or he treated or said something really off, or treated a crew member badly, I'd just say, don't do that. You know what I mean? I was never raised my voice, but I think because I was firm, he then thought that I was quite scary and stern, but that's not me and not the vibe that I've ever tried to give off.
I think it's the north. It's also it's the northern roots almost where. Actually, you know, the
people are intimidated by northerners.
No, not intimidated, but the northern roots. You know, it's a strong, you know, strong girl. You know, you're strong and you don't take any shit. And I think that's freaking great.
I try to, but I'm also so sensitive. And so, if I have an encounter like that, I will think about it for 3 years, being like, oh my god, do they hate me? Why do they hate me? And I'm like, oh, why do I care?
Yeah, but we're all like that. Francis is the only one who isn't. Francis doesn't give a shit. He doesn't give a shit. I will think about things that I've done and I'll go, oh, fuck, why did I say that? And it's like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I told you this time, Francis. I told him before. There was this one time in a club when I was at Leeds University and there was like a song playing. Oh, yeah. There was a song playing and everyone was like kissing. Ah, like kissing. Anyway, there was this guy standing next to me and I turned to him and kissed him on the lips and he went, what the fuck are you doing? And I went, oh, shit. I thought everyone was... doing it, and still to this day,
like, you know, youth, you know.
Still to this day, if I think about it, I go, "What the fuck did I do that? Oh god!"
Yeah. Wait, who do you still know the guy you
yes!
snapped?
Have you told him about it?
No, I've never said anything about it. I don't know. It sounds even weird. If I should really,
yeah,
just
that you've been
it.
Festering on it.
What do you think? it's hilarious. What do you think? What do you think the trick is? Do you think the trick is? You know, okay. Once you get into this amazing world of Hollywood, and you know, it's talent, it's luck, it's all these different things. But to stay in it, do you think it's about being kind and easy to work with? Is it about being ruthless?
It's all about being kind. If you're having a good time, everyone else is going to have a good time with you. As long as you're prepared and you know your lines, which it's amazing how many people just don't learn the lines, and that is just the most you're asked of. You know, just learn your lines. That's the most we have to do. Be hospitable, but also I think it's Helen Mirren says something like always be kind but never be a pushover. And I think that's quite a good way to go about things when you're on set. But I don't know. I think also the chemistry on each project is so different. You've got so many different personalities that you've sort of got to
gel with.
Try and kind of get rid of any sort of preconceived ideas you had or notions you worked in when you were on your previous set. So it's all about kind of gauging people's levels a lot.
God, I would just always...
I'm sure it's the same when on your job, when you're either on Strictly, you're on Bake Off, you're doing your TV show. There's so many people that are coming in and out all the time. Yeah. So many personalities to juggle, and also where you fit into that as well.
Yeah, but I think what I've always been pretty good at, I think, and this is probably why I'm quite, is that I, you know, I went to boarding school at the age of 8, and so I was thrown into an environment where I had to make friends. So I've always had to like adapt to certain situations and become friends with people. But I would always say my biggest thing is kindness. That's why I keep working, and I think being kind is more important than anything in this world. And it sounds lame, and you can be super intelligent, you can be this and you can be that, but if you're kind, people love working with you. I think, and I obviously, that's a credit to you, Liv, you know, to, you know, the fact that you know, people think you're kind and they still work with you, apart from things that dried up for you recently. But that's just because you're youth, so forget about that.
No, it's because I'm old now.
It's because you're really old. It's true. When you came on today, Francis and I were both like, shit, she's really old now. She was good.
Also, you keep talking about me and all the dying girl, and I did it when I was 20.
Yeah, but you look the same. You look the same.
Oh, I don't.
You
That's
do.
Very nice of you. I don't. I'm aging like a president.
It's Jamie's dream to be an actor.
No, it wasn't my dream
an
to be an
actress. I was going
to
say,
we'll get you a little cameo.
Listen, I've tried to get cameos. Well, my friend wrote our friend wrote the TV series Industry. Which
cool.
Yeah, which
I
came out.
That was great.
And he asked me to if I wanted to be a trader in the background, just running around, and they said no to that. It wasn't with no lines. That was just me in the background. They were like, I didn't even get that. I was like,
absolutely not.
I actually had a cameo but they cut it out. I was actually, this is something you and I have in common, Olivia. We were both directed by Spielberg.
Yes. And you were caught, what was it, on Warhorse?
Warhorse, yeah.
Yeah. How do you...
And so I thought I was going to be a stunt rider. That was kind of why I kind of signed up. But then they had overbooked riders to horses. So I was I was like, okay, well, I'll be in between the horses and all the extras. And then there was one bit where I was like, Steven Spielberg came over to me smoking his cigar, and he's like, you know, here, can you just stand there and just swirl some water around in this tin and throw it away? And then and the camera was like right on me. So I was like, oh my God, this is my Hollywood breakthrough.
Did you have your moment? You're going to be nominated.
I was like, I mean, they might ask me to be in the film. And, I wonder if I'm going to get credit for this. And then I went to the premiere of, not because of my role, but you know, through another channel.
Right.
And then I was like waiting for it, and then I was completely cut out. But still, I had that moment with Spielberg, which was good.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Were you thinking, oh my God, he's going to see something in me that no one else has seen before, thinking, and he's going to ask me?
The way I was really focused on like swirling that water around, like in a really weird, in a really like, you know, purposeful way.
Oh, yeah. God. Liv, doesn't that happen so many times, though, when you do, you think at the time, you think, this is going to be the moment. This is going to be the moment that really does it for me. And then you look back and you go, it was total nonsense. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, there's been times where I've come off set and I've been like, fucking hell, I was in that. I was in it. And then you see it and you're like, that was dog shit. I'm so embarrassed. That was dog shit. I really thought that was something. But you're just, yeah, you have. Also, I don't watch the monitor back because I don't like to see myself back because I just get too fixated on acne or double chin.
Change.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's always, I've always got this perception of how I look and what I'm doing in my head, and then I see it back, it's always just devastation.
Yeah, but I think that's it. You've
been cut out of a Spielberg film, though? I mean.
No, unfortunately. Can you imagine if I was? 5 months of work, and they were just like, nah, get her off.
No, we actually don't think that character works.
I know, I think everyone has that, though. It goes back to that same thing, that imposter syndrome. You know, I think we all have it, and I don't think that ever leaves us. And actually, if you don't have a bit of imposter syndrome or those insecurities, I don't think it actually... I think you're not sort of a humble person. I think being humble is a great thing to be. Is a wicked
thing. But does Francis have
Francis doesn't have. Francis is complete sociopath. He doesn't care.
I don't know. I think I deserve everything I... deserve everything I get.
Hey, listen, Liv, we have taken up so much of your time. We've run over way past an hour. But Francis, before we wrap things up, we need to have the answer to the question of the week.
Oh God, yeah.
The question was, what did they originally use cologne for? And you said covering up the smell of disease.
Syphilitic smells specifically.
Syphilitic.
Syphilitic. Is that the singular?
I don't know if that's a real word.
It's not.
There's not a singular of syphilis.
Well, it is now. Yeah,
no, syphilitic means you know, causing syphilis. But
No, hang on. Let's check. No, Liv, Google it.
Syphilitic. Yeah, syphilitic infection. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, right.
God. See that then?
Go on,
sorry,
my accent. Because of my accent,
Olivia.
I'm a woman. Yeah. You doubted me.
Yeah, that's true. I was like, she's a woman. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
You know too much about that, Olivia.
Look, what happened in my past time stays in my past.
What happened? Yeah. Okay, Francis, what is the answer?
Well, so you were close. You were very close. But they actually thought that it protected against the plague.
When I said chickenpox, I meant the plague. I didn't mean chickenpox.
No. You said that it stopped the smell of chickenpox.
Yeah, similar.
They thought it actually protected against them. They thought it created like a force field around them that stopped the disease getting into them.
Is that with those like plague masks with the huge beak?
They put cologne on them, and then because obviously you know when you wear cologne, you probably think you're like covered in like this aura of protective
masks. What are these weird masks?
Have you never seen the plague masks?
No.
Like, have you never seen Eyes Wide Shut?
Yeah, I've seen that.
The mask he's wearing is what they used to wear in Venice. the aristocrats used to wear those masks to scare away the peasants.
Plague masks.
Oh my god, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
It was designed to be terrifying. It was designed to keep people away from the
Jesus. Imagine if you might wear that for Halloween. Hey, Francis, this is a question for you. What Olivia Cooke film are you going to watch tonight? Because I'm watching The Quiet Ones.
Are you going to... I might watch the...
You don't have to at all, please. This has been enough time spent with me.
Wait, I might watch The Naked Singularity.
Oh, it's not out yet, actually.
I know, but so, I got a preview.
That's good. Let me know how it is. Yeah.
I will, actually, yeah.
Hey, Liv, listen, I was super excited for the podcast today, and honestly, this is not just blowing smoky, but it's been an epic podcast. So I really appreciate it. You're a complete legend.
Thank you.
So
hopefully we can all meet in real life when this is all over. You didn't sound sure then, Francis, actually. That was like a very non-committal. Yeah.
Sure. I'm fully committed. I can't wait.
This summer.
Again, it doesn't really sound honest. He sounds really unauthentic.
But I've got a lot of stuff on, so we'll have to see.
Oh god, alright, well fuck you then.
Liv, I'll be there, don't worry, I'm going to be there. Hey Liv, listen, what we like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational from you. Apologies.
Try and wash your bed sheets once a week.
That is, do you know what, that's so
it makes a difference.
It does.
Jamie washes his like once a month.
No, I did a TV show last night and they told me that you every year you flake off 4 kilograms worth of skin onto your pillow.
Last night, they told you that. What were you doing before last night?
They told me last night that you should change your pillow. You should change your pillow, most importantly.
Yeah, because acne and lots of bacteria on your pillow.
Yeah, All right, on that note.
All right, that's my inspiration now.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Remember, I'm going to leave you with something. Just remember the window is getting smaller. Just
what?
Window of youth.
My window of time.
It's getting smaller. All right, everybody, listen, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye!
Bye-bye.
Bye.